Welcome to Philanthropy Today, a podcast about the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. Together, we'll learn about the goals of the GMCF and the work of its staff, board members, and trustees. You'll hear about the GMCF's affiliate partners throughout North Central Kansas, and we'll also explore the efforts of area nonprofit agencies, their staff, and volunteers. Now, here's your host of Philanthropy Today, Dave Lewis.
It was November 2nd that was the GMCF semi-annual meeting, and we're going to recap that here today on Philanthropy Today because this tells the stories of what giving does in the community. Vern Henricks, President and CEO of the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation, is in the studio along with Edie Nichols. And Edie, you're the grants director? Something like that?
Grants coordinator.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. You're the GC here.
That's right.
Okay, all right. This is a big night for the nonprofits and even more so probably for members of the board and trustees of the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation.
That's right. This event is a good way for all of our trustees and board members to hear about kind of the specifics of what our nonprofits are doing with the grants that they've been awarded in the past year.
As grants coordinator, you also coordinated or directed this whole event. Give us a little synopsis of what all is entailed in the semi-annual meeting.
Yep. So we start with a little meal and visiting with your friends, and then we get started. Vern says a few words at the beginning. I say a few words and kind of explain how it works. And how it works is that our nonprofits are just divided up into groups. They go up to the microphone and they get 70 seconds to tell us about what they did with their grant money in the past year. That keeps the show moving right along. And it gives people, gives people the chance to, you know, reach out to those nonprofits if they'd like to get some more information. It gives the nonprofits a chance to listen and hear what the other organizations in town are doing. I spoke to a woman afterward and she was like, I didn't know some of the things that these other groups were doing.
Vern, it's a highly educational opportunity for everybody involved, including staff.
Indeed. You know, the staff get to see the results of a lot of their work and relationship building that we have here. The board gets to learn more about what they're overseeing, you know, from the process of what GMCF does. Trustees learn about the process. If individuals have donor advised funds, they might learn of things that they want to support that they didn't know about. It's particularly good for some of our new nonprofit directors because they learn what other organizations are doing, and it might form some new partnerships that they didn't know existed. And it's just a great evening of pride for the community because I mentioned last night, you know, some of these organizations have to be pretty confidential and private in what they do in serving individuals. And there's no names mentioned, but they get to talk about what they did with their grants, and people typically don't hear these things on a regular basis, and so it's really good.
One of the things I noticed that it's also an opportunity for those nonprofit directors to say thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's one of those things you wish you had about 1,000 people in the room. You know, we usually, because of the location, you know, it's usually about 100, 125 that might attend that way. But yeah, it's a great night to say thank you. And, you know, you could give the mic to any one of them and they'd love to speak an hour and tell people what they're doing. But when we confine them to 70 seconds, you know, it's like, whoa. But it really, really provides everybody attending a wide understanding of the width and depth that GMCF provides support to. And it's nice and it's a prideful evening.
Is the 70 seconds an arbitrary number?
Kind of.
Yeah. It wasn't based on anything?
No.
Just 1 minute was not enough, so let's extend it another 10 ticks.
We kind of did the math and the early go-around and wanted to get this thing done in an hour, and given the number of reports that we were going to have, you know, it kind of worked out that 70 seconds is what they had. So,
Edie, I think one of the other things is that it's also an effort or an opportunity for some of these nonprofits to introduce themselves to members of the community that they may not have been aware of before.
Exactly. And I think we've had some turnover in some of the director positions in the nonprofits. And so it's just nice to get the right face with the right organization.
when you start, you have them in groups so that you have some flow.
Right.
And that seems to work pretty well. They all kind of get up and in line. So, you know, it's just click, click, click. It just goes.
Right.
And I noticed that, you know, some of the people that were new, because this is the second one, I believe, that I've been to. Some of the people that were new just seemed to feel like, you know, hey, I got this because I saw this person do this and I know exactly what's expected of me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a way, yes, a good way for people to feel comfortable doing it. I saw these people doing it. They seemed fine doing it. You know, there's nothing to be scared of. Just get up there and talk about what you love about your organization and how it helps people in our community.
There's also lots of stories that come out, and they're told very briefly. You just touch base on them, you know, maybe 10, 12 seconds out of your 70 to talk about some stories. Anything that struck you?
You know, one of the things I think it's always been interesting to most of us is the Ogden Cafe and what they're doing. Here you have a military family that wanted to do something good, learned of a need, you know, started some projects that resulted in starting a cafe that has now resulted in starting a childcare to help kids, you know, kind of get engaged early in life. And so that's kind of what's happened in a lot of these people's situations. They have a passion for something that they've experienced in their life. And then it just takes them deep and deep and deep, you know. And I just love that young couple and what they're doing over there. And but that's not to say that we don't love everybody that's doing stuff at the Manhattan Emergency Shelter or Shepherd's Crossing or you name it, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Club. I mean, you can't name them all. There's so many of them, and it's their stories are unique and how they make a difference in somebody's life.
Edie, one of the things I noticed that after everybody had gone through the process and we had dismissed for the evening, that there were a lot of trustees that would go up and visit with some of these directors, and that must have shown that, you know, hey, I need to know more about the work that you do.
I think it's a good way to connect people like that, and you have some time, and nonprofits love to talk about what they're doing and what they could use help with. And we're fortunate we have trustees and board members that can help them hear that information and maybe help them with some things they need.
It's really a prideful evening. I'm a trustee, you know, and listening to the stories. There's obviously so much to learn, and we work with here at the GMCF with so many nonprofits, you know, and you don't have all of them attend that they couldn't. But there is so much neat, there are so many neat things that are happening through these nonprofit efforts.
Well, and a good example of that might be the Sunflower Collection. Most people have known as it Sunflower CASA, and people just knew what CASA was, but they actually did other things within their organization that people didn't realize. And so a couple of years ago, when a new director came in here, they've really kind of gone through a rebranding, and they call themselves Sunflower Collection now. And so CASA is one of the three things that they're doing, but this provided a platform last night to give everybody a good understanding of what Sunflower Collection was doing in the process. And so yeah, it's a great time for her to say thanks and explain about it. So,
Edie, anything that you any takeaway for you?
That was my biggest one too. If I had another chance, that's what I would have talked about. I think that's something you don't hear about much, but it's so important that the work that they do now, and they're moving into a new building where all three of these groups can be together for the first time. I think that's really special and exciting for them.
Let's talk a bit about the grant monies that are distributed throughout the community. And you had an annual report that you provided last night.
Yeah, this is it provides a good opportunity for us to recognize the individual grant groups. You know, a lot of times we get credit as from GMCF as providing this money. Well, GMCF is kind of the umbrella organization for a dozen different granting elements here. And so it doesn't just come from money that we've made. It's come from partnerships that have been created with GMCF. And, you know, we have our Grants for Greater Manhattan program where people have left estates to us. And so they've kind of commingled together where there's a grant program there. And of course, we have Lincoln and Dorothy Deal that left us an endowed fund to administer in their passing, and that is split up in basically an arts grant program and then a basic human needs and youth grant program. Of course, there's the Yes Fund after school program. our youth impacting community, which is our high school age group. We give them some money so that they can go through the process and learn philanthropy. Of course, Edie also coordinates our scholarship program here. Donor-advised funds are kind of a big growing element for individuals that don't want to start a private foundation, but they want to have a fund where they can make charitable contributions through the course of the year, and we help them with that. Then there's just our designated funds from the nonprofits that we hold funds for, so that they let us help them. Regular program expenses, but then we've got our supporting organizations, the Butler Family Foundation, the Goldstein Family Foundation, the Howe Family Foundation. And so all of those are broken out so that people can see how much was given from each of those elements. Now, the surprising thing for me, I mean, you know, last year we were in the $12 million range of grants, and I looked at this, and 2022 wasn't over with yet, and our number is $19.7 million already for this
year. That's a sizable increase.
And so it's now, some of this also includes our 16 partners, our affiliates and associates, and so, but that's a big jump in this process, and so it is fun to know that we're making a difference in all these communities.
Do some of your affiliates throughout Northeast Kansas also have an opportunity for members of the community to visit with their nonprofits in a similar format?
They all do it differently. Obviously, we're the largest of the bunch, and so some will do it at an annual meeting, and some will do it at a reception or a breakfast. Or we encourage them to do it because it is a very positive event to be able to say thank you in front of others. And so, but we're blessed to have several grant programs, and so it becomes a little bit more special night for us here. So
this is the semi-annual meeting. The other annual or semi-annual meeting is coming up when?
Yeah, March 20th. We combine that night. We do an annual report because our year, our fiscal year is, we run our accounting from January 1 to June 30th, but we started the foundation in a March time frame, and so we use that as kind of our annual meeting time, and so that'll be at March 20th at the Hilton Inn Manhattan Conference Center, and we started combining it about 10 years ago with our Community Foundation Awards event. So not only do we take care of our annual meeting business, but then we recognize, you know, the charitable causes, the nonprofits, the philanthropists in the community that same evening. And if you haven't been to it, that's it's a special night.
That it is. March 20th.
March 20th,
I'll make sure it's on my calendar.
You better be there.
I better be there. Huh? Okay. Edie? Thank you for joining us here today. There's so much that we gained last night and learned about other people, and it's a remarkable opportunity. It's one that really kind of instills faith in your community and humanity.
I think so. I think it does. It gives you all the feels about all of the things that we do for each other in Manhattan.
All the feels, Vern.
We're a feeling bunch around here. You know, we're kind of emotional, and you know, we have a lot of fun, and our emotions do run high for what these people do, and you know, we really try to keep the bar low. And when we're giving out grants, we want them to get the money. And the beauty about a community our size is, you know, we know these people, particularly the Community Foundation, and we know what they're doing, and we know if there is some overlap, we can help with partnerships. And so we're not trying to keep money from them. We're trying to spend as much money to do good things in this community as we possibly can.
And do we have a link that we can share for people to see the semi-annual report online?
We recorded it last night, and the link would be our website, and I'm sure we may even put it on our Facebook page, but our website is mcfks.org. And so we would love to have people, you know, if you couldn't attend, to view that and get a better picture of what everybody's doing.
Excellent work. Congratulations. And thank you to everybody involved.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Keep up with Philanthropy Today by following or subscribing to our podcast on your favorite apps. To learn more about the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation, visit our website at mcfks.org. Philanthropy Today is produced by Ad Astra Cast. Follow us online at astracast.com.